Good morning, everyone. The title of my lesson today is Walking in the Fear of the Lord. Today we'll be talking about the fear of the Lord. The Lord is often referred to as our Father. And growing up, I was a big kid, but I was often walking in the fear of my dad. At 13, I was 6 foot and had some strength in me, but my dad still would put terror in my heart when growing up. When growing up, the worst phrase I could hear my mom say was, "Wait till your father came home." I was in fear for hours waiting in my room. Not necessarily because he was going to beat me, but even though that was still a fear, but that I was going to disappoint him. And he would frighten me and tell me about the path that I was taking. The worst was when I was in sixth grade and my friends and I thought it was funny to use a crude gesture behind a substitute's back. That's why bad friends corrupt good morals. But one day, she turned right around and caught me. Well, I was sent to the principal's office, and that wasn't what scared me the most. What scared me the most was that I was going to have to face my father. When he came home, he was steaming mad, but he didn't spank me. He just went on about how embarrassed he was and how it was to have a son that to behave that way. And he was upset that he was trying to raise me as a Christian, and that's not how a Christian behaves. Even though my story might differ from yours, I'm sure you have disappointed your mom and dad in some way and felt the fear of disobeying them. This is the same but different fear that we have should have with our Heavenly Father, who is able to destroy both soul and hell, body in hell, Matthew 10:28. In writing about the early church, Luke recorded in Acts 9:31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Note that they were walking in the fear of the Lord. In writing to the church of Philippi, Paul told them, "Therefore, my beloved, as you are always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's in Philippians 2:12. The concept of fear and trembling is connection with God is not a popular concept today. People prefer to hear about God's love, long-suffering, and mercy. Sometimes when we point out God's righteous indignation and holiness and justice, people reply, "My God is not like that." The emphasis on God's love and mercy today is probably a reaction to the hellfire and brimstone preaching of another generation. But could it be that we have gone to the other extreme, where there is no concept of fear and trembling as it relates to the Christian? Could this be why many Christians have no reaction in their service? Could it be that we have forgotten whom we should fear, and if we are negligent in our service? And let's read Matthew 10:28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In this lesson, I hope to accomplish 3 things. Define the fear of the Lord, point out why the fear of the Lord is important to the Christian, and suggest how we can develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or another. We begin by defining the fear of the Lord. The word fear in the Hebrew, the word is yirah, and is used in the Old Testament to describe fear, terror, awesome or terrifying thing, object causing fear, or fear of God, respect, reverence, and piety. In the Greek word phobos, and is used to describe fear, dread, terror, that which strikes terror. In connection with the fear of the Lord, it is often defined as reverence or awe, which is fine as far as it goes, but I wonder if this definition truly goes far enough. For through the terms reverence and awe imply a place for trembling, do most people make the connection? The fear of the Lord should include a place for trembling. Even as Paul indicated in Philippians 2:12, let's turn there. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. By combining fear, the Greek word for trembling is tromos, and means a trembling and quaking with fear. Just as one would likely tremble in the presence of one who could take our life, so Jesus taught us to fear the Lord. Matthew 10:28. A proper fear of the Lord would then include reverence and awe, being afraid to offend God in any way. A trembling and quaking if one knows they have offended God and have not obtained forgiveness. And we're going to read Hebrews 10:26-27. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Let's read 30:30-31. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And let's read Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. The value of such attitude is seen as we continue on now and notice the importance of the fear of the Lord. From the book of Proverbs, we learn the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's turn to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. And the fear of the Lord will prolong life. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Without the fear of the Lord, we close ourselves to the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. We will play with evil and be corrupted by it. Our lives are likely to be shortened by a refusal to listen to God's word. An example would be not listening to the laws of the land. If you're told to stop at the stop sign and you don't stop, then you could have you can have your life shortened by crossing it and being hit by another car. Same goes by speeding. If you're speeding and everyone else is speeding, you could cause an accident and shorten your life. We will not come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of our salvation. When fallen into sin, we will not be motivated to repent and turn to God. We will not be motivated to truly work out our own salvation. Without the fear of the Lord, we cannot please God. Isaiah 66, 1 through 12, 1 through 2. Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the palace, place of my rest? For all those things in my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Only the person who trembles at his word has God's promise to receive his tender mercy. Let's see, in Psalms 103, it says, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. But how does one develop the fear of the Lord without going to the extreme of the earlier generations? So developing the fear of the Lord. Just as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, the same can be said for the fear of the Lord. Notice in Deuteronomy 31, that's Deuteronomy 31, verse 10 through 13. It says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read the law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and the little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So notice where in Deuteronomy 31 it says where the children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years to read and hear the word of God. The purpose was that they may learn to fear the Lord. As one reads the word of God, they should gain a healthy degree of the fear of the Lord. Consider the words of Paul in Romans 2. Four through 11. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but in accordance with your hardness of and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient countenance in doing good seek the glory, honor, and immortality. But to those... Sorry, I lost my place. But to those who self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Or how about the words of Peter in 2 Peter 3, 7 through 14. Second Peter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and all the works in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and all the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The word of God, properly used, will maintain a proper balance. It is important to emphasize, however, that to avoid extremes, we must read all of God's word. Some read only portions will reveal God's love and mercy, and have no fear of God, fear of the Lord. I believe Aaron touched on that with the liberalism, that some people literally cut out sections of the Bible. Others emphasize the fire, hell, and brimstone passages and know nothing of God's everlasting loving kindness. Even in the passages noted above, the context of which each speaks much of God's grace and forgiveness for those who will repent. So we must be careful how we use the word of God, but we must use it. The psalmist said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him, in Psalms 89, verse 7. So why do we need to fear the Lord? So we will be sure to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The warning is necessary, for as it is written in Hebrews, let us therefore, in Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And again, in Hebrews 4:11, it says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." With the proper fear of the Lord, we will work out our salvation. We will labor to enter into that heavenly rest. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? So if there's anyone here today that needs to perfect their holiness in fear of God and be baptized for the remission of their sins, or if there's anyone here who needs the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing.